Welcome back to Totten Podspur, available on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also interact with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and on our Facebook page, along with our website and blog at podspur.com. There will be a link tree in this episode description with all of those links, so please follow the show, all of the guys, and click subscribe to join the conversation and never miss a Podspur. Thanks again for coming back home to Podspur. It's been another busy week for Spurs with two preseason friendlies, and we're here to share our thoughts on all of it. For context, we're recording this on Saturday, July 16th at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, Matt. You can follow me on Twitter at MKCoys, and I'm joined in the virtual Podspur studio by Scott and Dustin. Before I kick it to the guys, I do want to talk up our Podspur Nation WhatsApp group chat, which I mentioned at the end of the last episode. So in case you didn't listen to the end, you can hear about this. If you're a U.S.-based Spurs fan and are interested in connecting with other stateside supporters, get in touch with us, and we'll get you the link to join. So let's kick it down to Florida and Scott at COY Seminoles. Scott, how's it going, man?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Good. Good. I think it was a bit of an early wake up. So, you know, kind of get lit in that afternoon coffee, settle in now, but doing good. And out to Bowling Green and my good friend, Dustin. Dustin, what's up, my man?
Not much, man. Yeah, it was definitely early when I told you before we got on. Eyes got a little heavy there those last 15 minutes. So it was a little, some of those details are a little fuzzy, but it's all good now.
I hear that. My 1-year-old actually is like started sleeping through the night this week. We let him have a good cry it out on Monday night. So I'm actually getting a little bit more sleep than I'm used to. So to wake up twice early by my own accord this week with Wednesday's match versus the K-League All-Stars and today versus Sevilla, you know, it was a bit interesting, but, you know, I'll recoup that, I guess, over the next week or so. It also is worth mentioning, I did say we're recording this Saturday, July 16th at 1. Spurs do not currently have a pinned tweet. So by the time you hear this, I fully expect Jed Spence will be announced. Might even break during this episode, but, you know, we'll get to that if it does come. And we'll talk about him a bit later on. So stay tuned. Stay with us. We're still in the midst of silly season, and it could be time for the sixth Spence to join the conversation. Probably the biggest conversation, or one of the biggest conversations I've seen on Twitter and across the socials this week, has been the launch of the away top. Scott, what are your thoughts on this purple, black, and volt green concoction?
I hate it, personally. Even usually you see these kits, you know, on the mannequins and the hangers, and even in some of the pictures on the players, and you think, oh, God. And then on the pitch, it's okay. I didn't think it was any better on the pitch today. It just looked like some intern at Nike, you know, or somebody's kid, you know, just picked a bunch of colors and hit send, or somebody forgot about it and last minute was like, shit, we got to get a Spurs kit out. And it's no good. The socks didn't make it better. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I won't be buying that one.
I like how you said, you know, people wait to see it on the pitch and sometimes it changes. I know the Galaxy, you know, black and, you know, space.
I love that one too.
I know a lot of people. Yeah, I know a lot of people weren't sold on that one at first, but once Spurs started playing in it, I think it might have been that MK Dons match was one of the first ones they wore it, and people were very excited about it and kind of grew to love it. And I think that's because I think it was very dark. It had the black socks too, worn with it. I think that could have helped this kit today, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a fan at all. I tweeted out, I think it's very youth level. There's a Speedo swim shirt that it looks just like.
Yeah.
My comparison to this one, before I get your thoughts on it, Dustin, are this is the type of uniform that you paid way too much money for your kid to be a part of a travel team or an AAU team, and they bought some fancy, flashy jersey that just doesn't really look good. What are your thoughts on it, Ace?
It's a pretty actually spot on. Playing travel hockey, I've seen the myriad of ugly jerseys. My brother actually played in a inline tournament this summer, and he played for this team kind of like it was like the trick shots or something, and had this weird looking, no, it was the Mad Hatter, it had some weird looking top hat with like cards, and I was like, that's ugly. I actually thought it looked semi better in person, and I just had an epiphany when you talked about the socks. If you remember 18-19, when we wore the Spurs Coys, the Lucas Moura kit. Mm-hmm. We all know the Lucas Moura kit.
Greener.
There were right. Two different sock combos with that. There was a pair of the teal kit. There was some of the teal socks, and there was like a gray pair of socks. So maybe there is a black set that will go with that. But, you know, you said, man, I'm going to give you credit for this because you were the one that pointed it out. the last time we had a Barcelona training kit as our away kit, we made a Champions League final.
We did. That is true. And I did want to shout out our friends at the Talking Tottenham podcast and our good friend Buck, who wanted us to talk about it. And also wanted to mention we're going to do a collaboration episode with them after the Roma match on July 30th. So be on the lookout for that. But
get your popcorn ready.
He did ask the question of our thoughts on the new top. And I know Bucky is a big fan of it. We just don't share the sentiment over here at Podspur. I think the shade of purple is a little weird. It's more like a periwinkle. It's got like a blue hue to it, it looks like. So it's not quite the spurple that we're used to. So I think that does it for me. I think if it had been a little truer to purple, it might have worked a little bit better.
Does it take it away that last year we had a predominantly purple kit too? Maybe just that kind of...
I don't know which shirt I hate more, this year's away or last year's. Like, I don't know. I hate this one. They're both atrocious.
I like the cockerel and the Nike swoosh centered. I do like that. That's like the only thing I like about it. Yeah. It just the design of it is. It could be any of the three colors. It's not the problem. It's the design.
I hate the neck.
It's lazy. Yeah.
That if it would have just, I saw on Footy Headlines, they do a really good job of leaking. The one thing they do well, they don't do rumors very well, but they do jersey leaks really well. And they had a mock-up of it, and it was the collar, like a normal collar shirt, was the yellow vault, whatever you want to call it, all the way around. And then the shoulders were just black. So it actually had like, it didn't look like that weird, like, V. I don't like the way the neck transitions with the body into the shoulders. It's weird.
No, I get that. And that's where I think it kind of looks like that swim shirt or like cycling shirt top, you know.
Yeah, it does look like a swim shirt.
It's got a weird vibe to it, you know.
I hope we see the third way more than this one.
I know we're doing the audio of the podcast, but I'm wearing my bootleg third from DH Gate right now. So the guys in studio can see it.
That's sharp.
Awesome in person. If you were in a pool, you could probably camouflage with the liner. But it is cool. When I first saw this one, to be honest with you, the leaked third we're talking about, I'm sure if you're listening, you can find it very easily online. When I first saw it, I was worried that it was a little too Chelsea, kind of with their last year's home design, but in person, it's beautiful. I'm very excited for this one. I bought this one from the Chinese in DH Gate, and I could very easily see myself getting this one from Spurs Shop with the Champions League badging and lettering and all that.
Hey, Matt, what'd you get on the back of that kit?
I got a Podspur 19 on it. It's fly. I'm fully repping. But I'm excited for this one.
That one reminds me of the aquamarine with the navy blue collar we had maybe four years ago. An actual collar.
It actually is kind of the same shade. Yeah. I do have that one. I can see it.
The cursed kit that we finally broke against Newcastle with Steve across the cane.
I have one of those. You guys will like this. I actually have the 8 of Harry Winks on the back of that one.
I knew you had that. You wore it a couple recordings ago, I think.
So I might single-handedly be responsible for the curse.
That's my son kit, I think.
All right. Yeah. I've seen that one like online, like still new with Sun on it, and I'm contemplating purchasing it just to like reverse the juju, but it is what it is. I'll own that Harry Winks kit.
Can I throw a question out to you guys on here? Let's do this a little Las Vegas style. I'm going to set the line at over under at 2.5 times we see that jersey worn in the whatever we wore today.
It is the away.
Yeah, the away. I'm going to set the over-under on the number of times we wear that kit this year. 2.5. What are you taking, the over or the under?
Over, because we don't get to have nice things.
Over, because we're going to wear it 3 times. I'm going with 3 on the head. So I think we're going to see the third kit worn a lot more, especially in Champions League. So very excited about that. So let's dive into the action. We had two friendlies this week. We had the K-League All-Star match, and then we had the... kind of not so friendly versus Sevilla today in a 1-1 draw. It was a heated affair, but we did have a couple tweets kind of reaching out and asking us some opinions on some things. So let's start with we got a takeaway from today's match, and it's from Nate Can Cook at Sunny1Days on Twitter. He said, "Wow, that was a scrap. Sevilla has been quality for years. Nothing different today. Second half, very entertaining. Spurs look likely to score on every counter." Dustin and I kind of talked about this before we got going. There were some very good balls played in, some very good, you know, crosses But I think it's stuff that we see finished maybe in the next week or two once everyone's kind of firing on all cylinders. And then we also had a great question from, let me just pull it up, make sure I got it, from Dustin Dietz on Twitter asking who we thought was the, you know, the brightest performer on Twitter. So let's start with you there, Scott, on this one. Who was your brightest performer in South Korea?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think it's got to be probably Kane. I mean, just from a performance perspective, Sun looked good. He looked lively, obviously, but he didn't get the chances to finish that Kane had. That the run that Sun had today against Sevilla, where he burst into space and then did the little 360, and while he was falling down,
he actually got caught on that one. That was kind of surprising to see. Usually, he doesn't get. I was thinking this was going to be like a Burnley moment.
I think he could have pushed it if he wanted to. I'm not sure why he didn't. He kind of held the ball up a little bit. That was a really good run and a really, really nice finish from Kane. So as boring as that answer is, I think it has to be Kane. And that offside goal he scored was
peach.
He's on it already.
So Dustin's exact wording was best looking player in South Korea. And you can follow Dustin at DustinDeets18 on Twitter. We'll go to our Dustin for his answer on this one. Dustin, what do you got?
I'm gonna go with. I agree with you, Kane. From a overall thing, it's probably Kane. But I'm gonna give you a slightly different answer just because he was just all over the place.
And if you take mine, I'm gonna be really pissed.
Are you gonna say Ollie Skip?
No. Okay.
Oh, okay. We're good. Then I'm gonna say Ollie Skip. We know what Skippy can do. I think I sent this in one of our group chats. He's not a statistical masterpiece. He's not gonna. You know, unless you're really into like the defensive stats and like the meat of the stats, but he's just a guy. He was progressive. He tracked back. There was a moment. I had it down to the minute here. Skip or with. I'm losing my space here. So I'm not going to be able to find it right now. But there was just a couple of times, like he just made those extra defensive run to cover. And it was really nice to see Skippy out there. We got to see Skip and Benson Kerr play together, which we hadn't seen before. So that was a nice piece of interchange. It was good to see him at full form because we got to see, we got to see what makes us, love Ollie Skip the most. It's just that he's just relentless.
Yeah, it was good to see him again. Like you said, we haven't seen him in quite some time. So great to get him back.
I think they said January 23rd was his last appearance. So
yeah. Definitely great. My answer, I'm different from the two of you. I'm happy for this. Lucas Moura, right wing back. And I want to go to our good friend Austin Bazan's question. You can follow Austin at ATXBazan. Do we think Lucas can fulfill a right wing or right wing back spot? How good is Conte's magic? And I want to go to a quote from Antonio Conte, which makes me believe Lucas can play right wing back. And I'm going to come up with a follow-up question for the guys after this. But Tottenham head coach Antonio Conte has revealed that he may deploy Lucas Moura as a wingback and compared a possible position change to that of Ivan Perisic. I spoke to Lucas, and I think this could be a good option to play at wingback, Conte said after Spurs 1-1 draw with Sevilla on Saturday. In the past, I made Perisic in this position before a winger and became a wingback. He has the quality. The most important thing is the player has to be 100% ready to do it. But he is available for us. And if there is one player 100% ready to do anything for Tottenham Hotspur, I would think it would be Lucas Moura. I was very impressed. And he slid into right wing back in the first match versus the K-League All-Stars, and he covered a lot of ground. Defending is always going to be a little bit, different. But he's got the pace, and if he learns the positioning from Conte, the wing back whisperer, who else better for him? Scott, what are your thoughts on Lucas? And, do you think he can, fulfill this role?
I think so. I mean, that quote, he also mentions Kondreva and Moses in the same breath. And, I don't know that we need him to play that position. I mean, we're going to have Spence, Emerson, and Doherty. And now Doherty's played on the left side, mostly, I think, because of Perisic's injury. But I think Doherty may be our third choice left wing back during the season. But yeah, I think he can do it. I mean, one issue he's got is his stature, but he's got such a leap on him. I mean, there's no issue defending back post corners. He can get higher in the air. It's interesting today during the match was, and you wouldn't think this would be the case, but Conte was yelling at him constantly to get further up the pitch. As a winger, you would think he'd have the opposite problem, but I think he's so conservative and doesn't want to make any mistakes, that he was sitting too deep. Earlier in the match, you could see Sessegnon was in line almost with our attacking band in the press, and Lucas was sitting very deep. So I think that he's got some work to do, but, you know, natural talent and skill set, I think he's got those things. How much he'll play there, I don't know, but he can do it.
Yeah, I like the Doherty piece, and you know, I do want to bring Jeremy, who joins us on the pod, brought in a good point. He thinks that this quote from Conte could very well spell the end for either Emerson or Doherty. I could very well see one of them being sold, you know, with having Lucas as another option there. Dustin, another follow-up question for this. Do you think maybe this was also presented to Steven Bergvine and Stevie said no?
You know, I was thinking about that, and we had heard that, you know, Bergvine could be somebody who makes that switch to right wing back. I don't know, because we also – my gut probably says no to that question, because we talk about how much – Conte said how much he liked having in training, how well Stevie – his attitude was and his effort was. So I'm going to probably say no to that, just because that just doesn't – I don't think Conte sugarcoats anything. I think he tells you as it is. If I would have think, you know, if he would have said, well, we've talked about, you know, moving some players around, and that was met with some apprehensiveness, I think he would have probably said something like that, because I don't think he gives away, you know, the full details. But I'm going to say no to that. I also think about this. Think about this from a tactical standpoint. Say we, start Lucas in a match that's, we'll say it's like a third round FA Cup against Southend United, you know, a team like that. And maybe for whatever reason, we're just, it's, you know, 0-0, and we need to pick a goal. And Lucas is playing up top. What happens, you know, if on that right wing side, we bring in Decky, or we bring in Richarlison, and we could slide Lucas back on that right wing side, right wing back side, and take out an Emerson Royale, a Matt Doherty, maybe a player that's, you know, hopefully will soon to be announced. But, you know, that gives us another attacking option on there. And we've all made it clear our attack from the right wing back is the weakness in it, is the fact that we struggle to put in a really good cross. And Lucas has some good service on that. He's good with the ball at his feet. He can make some good passes like that. So I think it's an extra little bag. If we could keep that in our back pocket and we don't show it too much, it's hard to prepare for it. And I think it could work out in our favor.
Sure. Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's, Dustin, probably the most likely scenario for Mora there. I don't think we're going to sell Doherty just because the left wing cover that he provides, left wing back cover, excuse me. And I don't know that we'll sell Emerson. This is just confusing to me. Like, I can't decide if this Lucas thing means something or if it's just a preseason. Like, I really don't know. I doubt Doherty goes from the flexibility and the financial aspects. We would get, what, like $4 million for Doherty? What's the point? And Emerson has been told he's first choice, quote unquote, which I don't believe. But I guess
agent speak.
Right. You could see Emerson going, and then you've got Spence starting as your second choice, and Lucas is your emergency. So that could happen. Regarding Bergvine, I don't think he had the engine to do that. I mean, he huffed and puffed after 65 minutes. I know he put in the work and he looked like he trimmed up a little bit, but we never really got the chance to see him play 90 minutes often up front, let alone in that position. That's the most, you know, taskmaster-y position that Conte's got. You got to run. You don't have a choice. You're running constantly. And we never saw Bergvine do anything close to that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with when Spence is announced back there with outgoings, because Emerson would fetch a good fee. And we could turn that around on another player later.
Sure, that's a great shout. So we talked about kind of who impressed us the most. Dustin, we'll start with you on the negative flip side of it. Who was your biggest donkey in South Korea?
I guess since I go first, can I say Davinson Sanchez? Just because, and I don't think it was his total thing. I think the left-sided Davinson Sanchez is a no. He doesn't belong on the left side. It just don't do it. Like, he's going to play on the right this year most of the time, and that's fine. That's where he needs to be. But he left some things to be desired. He left a lot to be desired in South Korea, I thought.
All right. How about you, Scott?
I would have said Sanchez too, and I would have also given the same caveat. That's not really fair to him. That highlights the importance of Longley to me. That and the Davies injury today highlight the importance of long leg. Like, there was no option but to get a left-footed center back of some kind, just so we don't have to see this again. He looks so different on the left. Like, he's such a confidence player. When he's comfortable and feeling good, he looks like he looked against Arsenal and in the last three matches of last season. And then when he's uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form, he looks like this. He's got a fine touch. He's got a fine passing ability. You've seen it in real games and that matter on the right. But if he's uncomfortable, he looks like Moussa Sissoko. So, I would have said Sanchez. But today, at least, I was disappointed with Højbjerg a little bit. There were some misplaced passes, and he just was a little sluggish. And to be fair, he played more minutes than anyone else in the center of the park because of Bissouma, I'm assuming, is why. And I think Conte wanted to see some first-choice-ish combinations, so he wanted to leave Højbjerg out there for a while. But I was pretty disappointed with him today. He was fine, I thought, against the K-League group, but today was not very good.
I'm with you. I was actually good. I had Højbjerg all loaded up for that one as well. I think that, you know, we can definitely talk about this, but I think that looking at two, you know, midfielders that are going to play in that, you know, in the 3-4-3 in the center of the park, I think first choice is Rodrigo Bentancur. I think he's the first name of that midfield stable to get on the team sheet. Number two, right now, I'd probably say Oliver Skip. I think Yves Bissouma does take that role and, you know, slides in there when he's back and healthy. But I think Højbjerg is maybe third at best with getting in there as far as being in that pecking order. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, and it'll be interesting to see who else comes in and how we rotate, especially with five subs, and, you know, what that is going to look like. We have a question on Twitter from @ at WhaleyMan22, who says, how much do you think the fitness training of Conte gassing the players affected the energy levels in this match? How does it factor into such a short preseason? We'll start with you there, Dustin. You know, Scott kind of alluded to it with Højbjerg playing a lot of minutes and that training, but how do you think this heavy preseason will play out for us?
I mean, it's heavy. I mean, I'm sure it has an effect, but my thought is too, I mean, we all played sports growing up. In the off season, that's when you hit it the hardest. You're supposed to reach that, you know, see what your breaking point is, see how, so you're supposed to be able to push and build yourself, because in the middle of the season, you're not doing that same kind of physically demanding thing. It's all about maintaining and keeping your body right. So, I mean, it definitely played a thing. I mean, it was hot and humid, which, you know, living in Bowling Green, Kentucky with 95 degrees and 90% humidity, I'm used to. So it's probably what they're training in. It's probably like what I'm cutting my grass in. So I mean, it definitely played in a part, but I think that's what Conte wants. He wants to see, you know, how far he can push him. So I don't see it as a negative, but it definitely impacted.
How about you, Scott?
Well, after the match, Conte actually spoke about this specifically. He said that he likes to have a game like this. He felt like this wasn't a friendly. The first match was, he said, but this one felt like a real game, he said, and he likes to schedule matches like this in the middle of work, he said, because it challenges the players to fight through fatigue, and when you're fatigued and when you're facing adversity with a group of people that you're working with very closely, you start to create bonds and you work together on solutions, and you know you have to rely on the people around you in ways that you wouldn't have had to necessarily do it before, especially when you've made new signings and try and players to new positions. There's a mental aspect of it just as much as the physical. And it seemed like that was intentional today, given how long Kane played, how long Son played, how long Højbjerg played, how long he waited to bring in the more reserves players, Saar, Hill, Parrott. That was late, those substitutions. Right. And we didn't see Harvey White. And we didn't see, Fagan Walcott, but that was the Davies injury. I think he really wanted to push players that he thought he was going to rely on. And that's the reason.
Right. Very well said. That's a good shout. We also had a kind of a follow-up question to that. I think it's that was Chris on Twitter as well. And Chris is in our Podspur Nation chat. He said, how much does missing the preseason impact Bissouma's chances of starting game one when Skippy, Højbjerg, and Bentancur have played and looked really well? We kind of gave our take on Højbjerg, but, you know, looking at those others, Dustin, do you see any chance Bissouma starts game one in the Premier League?
Maybe. I won't say no. I mean, game one, it affects him just because, you know, that's, you know, two more games where the three of them have. But you also got to think, you know, this is, keep, like, as much as this is, Bissouma's a new signing, you know, we, like I said, Skippy's never played with Bentancur, so it's a feeling out process for them. So it probably does impact him for game one, at least to start. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, we talk about five subs. If he, you know, we wouldn't be surprised at him to pop up later in a match, but maybe for week one. But most other than that, I'm not too concerned.
I mean, we also have, you know, Rangers and Roma in Israel, correct? So I mean, you got two more, you know, actual clubs he can play against. So I think it's still very much open. And as you know, it's kind of four guys fighting for two positions.
So speaking of Bissouma, and we'll go ahead and lump Fraser Forster in here too. What does their travel back look like? Are they, because they've tested positive, are they stuck in South Korea? Or are they going to get Wednesday to come? They're there till Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. That's what Conte said. Now what he said is they'll return to us Wednesday. Now what that means is, will they be flying back Tuesday or training Wednesday? I'm not sure.
Right.
He did specifically say Wednesday. Are they asymptomatic? I don't know that what we heard. That's my concern. Really, is.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard that or read that anywhere on the socials. But
I'm hoping that, because that would be a tough hill to climb for a central midfielder,
right,
to come into a new team and really, if he had any lingering lung issues, that would be tough.
I guess to get back to Chris's question with that is, I think Bissouma at least he's Premier League proven going for him. He's played in the Premier League. It's not like he's coming in from France or Spain or another league. He's played in the league. He's played in the country, so he's got that going. Scott, how do you see that affecting him? I guess, kind of like alluding to your point, though, also assuming he hopefully is asymptomatic.
Yeah, if there's no lingering issues with it, I think that he's got plenty of time to slot back in. It really just depends. Now, who knows what unfolds for the rest of the window? Because remember, Richarlison is suspended for that first game, mm-hmm. So you know, we will just have that front three. It won't have the fourth attacking option. Not that that will matter. I'm sure we'll still play Kane, Son, and Kulusevski. But I think he's got time, and especially between Rangers and Roma, those aren't, you know, crap teams. Those are legitimate competition. So if he can get back on the pitch, because he looked very good in the open training. I mean, he looked like the best midfielder out there. There was one play where he made Romero look a little bit foolish with a little dummy around him. So I think he could, if he hits the ground running physically, recovery wise, I think he could very well make it back in time.
All right. The only other point I really wanted to bring up, we mentioned the Ben Davis injury. Austin had asked on our Twitter what was up with that, and Conte did say that Ben finished with a bit of pain in his ankle. Hope it's nothing serious. So it seemed to be more, he had a little tweak in the ankle and hopefully more precautionary than anything else.
Charlie Eccleshare said that it looked like it wasn't serious. And one thing I wanted to point out too, I meant to mention this earlier, Sessegnon was good today. I thought not like Kane's Son good, but he was good, like really good.
One of the people that I interact with a lot on Twitter, Mpo, if you don't follow him, it's at Afro Scott. He's a great follow. He tweeted out how much he hated Doherty at left wing back, and I said I agree with you, and I think it's because of how much I love Sessegnon at left wing back. I think he's great. That ball that he put into Sonny, I think a few more weeks, Sonny buries that header.
Or Richarlison could have scored that if Son wasn't there.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Sessegnon provides us with a lot of width. And I know you talked a lot about that in the last episode, Scott. I love what he brings to that left side.
Well, and Conte did say that Perisic should be good to go for half an hour against Rangers. So I think that is going to change things quite a bit, I think.
He's returning from a calf injury, right?
Calf, yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. So we are going to take a short break, but after this break, we'll talk about the sixth Spence. We'll talk about the rest of the rumor roundups and a little bit more, answering some of your questions, and we'll do that right after this. Welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur. Again, we're recording this on Saturday, July 16th, waiting for that Jed Spence announcement in the sixth Spence, as people are dubbing it, that, you know, the photos have already leaked. He's doing his interviews. The jersey's been held, and we're just waiting for that final announcement. And do be on the lookout for our accounts, because I have set up a short interview with a Nottingham Forest podcast to do a short, get their take and what their thoughts are on Jed Spence and how he could transition into Premier League and for Tottenham Hotspur. So that'll be a good listen. I do want to start with a bit of an interesting discussion on Spence, as Middlesbrough boss Chris Wilder revealed that Tottenham were the only club to bid for Spence. Forrest didn't come in for him. This is his quote, "Forrest didn't come in for him. Nobody else came in for him. Tottenham were the only show in town." Does this concern you, Scott, that, you know, this player seems very highly touted? I know through the YouTube scouting that we all do, we were all pretty impressed, but apparently none of the other clubs were.
From the sounds of it, it sounded like he was pretty aggressively pro Spurs. Once he heard that we were interested, he wanted to come here. So I'm sure that played a role in this. I mean, we signed him for $12.5 million up front. That's nothing. Like, what club in the Premier League wouldn't pay $12.5 million for a homegrown right back? I mean,
right.
I don't think it's, you know, had we paid $30 million or I mean, waited till mid-August to do it. I don't think so. I mean, he's one of the more talented options that I've seen in that position, given the age, given the profile, given the amount we paid when we paid it. I'm not concerned about that. Chris Wilder likes to talk too. And clubs aren't stupid. They don't want to get involved in these things. And you have the PR nightmare of, like, how many times has Arsenal been dunked on in this window? Do you really think they want to put their name out there with another Spurs target and we sign another one? I mean, there was Bissouma, there was Richarlison, there was it Perisic? There was these clubs just don't want that out there. There's no reason to create drama for themselves PR wise, and that's why some of this "we never made an official bid" stuff is bullshit, because you only make the bid once you basically got it agreed. It's just one of those things. They're like, all right, he wants to go to Spurs, Levy knows this guy's agent, whatever, let's move on to somebody else.
No, that's a good shout. And he's half the price that we paid for Sessegnon. Sessegnon was 24, you know, full up. I know this deal reportedly could get up to 20, but you know, I just found it interesting that we didn't see, like, I know there were some Arsenal fan accounts out there that had the Photoshop shirt of Spence on.
Yep, the Welcome to Arsenal YouTube videos. Yep.
Which you love to see. But like you said, they've been dunked on a lot in this window. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to the rumor roundup. But Dustin, what are your thoughts on Tottenham being the only show in town for Jed Spence?
I do find it interesting. I have a little bit of a theory here. So you remember last time we talked, how we kind of let it known that Kyle Walker, like, we still had a buyback clause for Kyle Walker-Peters.
And I called smokescreen. I called smokescreen on that.
And I wonder if we leaked that out to get people hooked on the scent, and then we're like, okay, we're just going to get this done. Like, they want, because Kyle Walker-Peters is a proven Premier League player. You know, Jed Spence, we think he's got all the talent in the world, and I'm sure we're all fairly confident he's going to transition well and be a really good player for our team, but he's never done it in the Premier League. He's only done it in the Championship. So I think maybe, like you said, smoke screen. We tried to, you know, put people on a different scent, and we tried to, you know, sneak it around there.
You know, I don't agree with that necessarily, only because I read the source, the actual article it came from. And it could be that I'm, you know, misconstruing it, but that the article that Ornstein mentions it in is literally, like, on the Southampton Athletic site. Like, it's like the Southampton right back search. And it's like, they're searching for this person, this person, this person, Nico Williams, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, by the way, it's believed that Spurs have a £30 million. So it could very well be that you're right and we slid it in there. Or he was talking to somebody in Southampton and it just came up. Like, well, we got to prepare because Spurs have this £30 million. I really don't know how it came up, but that wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't linked. Wouldn't surprise me if it was. Just, like, how it appeared in the media makes me a little bit skeptical.
I was on here a couple weeks ago and I said that I was confident that Gleason Bremer would be wearing a Spurs kit, and he's about to sign with Inter Milan. So I've been wrong before. It's all good.
Well, I think that's very similar to the Spence thing. Like, he wants Inter, and I don't think anyone has – we've had conversations, but we haven't pursued seriously after them, because I think it was clear to us that he didn't want to come here. Just like if Chelsea called his agent and they said, well, we really want Spurs, then – Chelsea's not going to pursue. Very similar.
You know, the personal terms won't be agreed to. Right. I think the difference is the stature of these two. We talked about in here, Spence is just an absolute man. Kyle Walker still looks like a little boy. Yeah. Still looks like a little boy that probably should be wearing our away kit in some travel league somewhere on a Sunday. But I'm very happy, very excited for this. And I'm looking forward. I always love talking with you know, podcasts from other teams in other countries. So very much looking forward to get on with the Nottingham Forest guys and get their thoughts on Spence. And it was also, I kind of went back and forth with their host about, you know, well, we might be getting him, he said. So, you know, funny to know that Forrest didn't end up coming back in, and we can have that discussion. And just again, be on the lookout, make sure you're following the socials so you can make sure that you catch that one when it does break. So hopefully any day, anytime now, we'll get that one up. But let's go to the full rumor roundup. And this is your boy Dustin's segment. He does all his research. His nerd spreadsheet is loading up right now.
It's very colorful now, too.
Very colorful. Good to go. Dustin, give us the latest, my friend.
So we're going to start with some outgoing stuff, and then we're going to end kind of more with the incoming, and then we're going to have a little discussion about the that position known as the central attacking midfielder position here. So thinking about some outgoings, there's not really a whole lot. I think the big one is next week, us and AC Milan are going to, you know, kind of get back in touch with about Jafet Tanganga. The good news in this, what I read yesterday, a couple different things, was that it looks like AC Milan is leaning towards just that 1 year loan, which I think is what we would all prefer. I read that Tanganga actually rejected Bournemouth, which I thought would have been an interesting spot for him because he did not want to be a part of a team that could go back down to the championship. But it also has come out that Newcastle, Everton, and Brentford have inquired about it. It looks like it's going to be either Joff. I have a feeling that AC Milan is going to be the team that gets him. And that would like to be an intriguing spot for him. He's 23 years old. I don't know when he turns 24. I just have you. He's 23 right now. Excuse me. He's 23 years old. He could get some really good experience. He's going to a good team. I think it could serve, and if it's only a 1 year loan, and I haven't seen anything about an obligation to buy, I think that could be a good spot of him. What do you think about it, Matt?
I think from a loan perspective, I would have liked Bournemouth better with him playing in the Premier League. Just, you know, getting first team Premier League minutes would have been a little bit better. I'm a big Tanganga fan. I think it was Scott that actually brought it up last episode, where we have a lot of young assets that more than likely will outlast Antonio Conte's tenure at this club. And I think Jafet Tanganga very much needs to be one of those and needs to be kept around. So, again, a homegrown center back, I would hate to see him sold.
What do you think, Scott? What do you think about Joff to AC?
Same. I mean, I'd rather him be in the Premier League as well. Just, you know, having him not be able to play against us twice as one of his team's best defenders would always be nice, just from a competitive perspective. It's minor if it's one of those clubs, but there is something to be said about learning from those, a different culture, a different style in Milan. I mean, they've got some defenders around that club in both the coaching staff and in the, you know, front office type roles that are very experienced and can teach him quite a few things.
Maldini is in their front office,
yeah,
right?
And he's apparently pushing for this. So it wouldn't hurt my feelings to see him go
right
there. And
no, that's, you know, that's a very fair point.
And play in the Champions League, potentially. I mean, that's crazy to me. But
so sorry, Scott, go ahead. Finish your thought. I cut you off.
Well, it's one of those things, like, you look at Sevilla and how many of, like, Rakitic, Lamela, how are they so, like, they're good. They shouldn't be that good, and they shouldn't compete in the Champions League. Like, he could go to AC Milan and get out of the group with them. Like, I don't, right. A lot of these teams on the continent overperform in Europe, and he could be a part of that and maybe learn something.
My question is playing in the Championship or Champions League with a loan deal kind of like it is in the Premier League, like if we drew AC Milan in our group, could he play against us?
I'm pretty sure he can. I'll look it up. I think that's just an FA rule. Let me check.
I feel like it is too, but I was just curious. So I think that kind of wraps up Tanganga. It seems like next week is going to go. Talking about another, I'm going to hit a couple of really quick. There's not really much discussion to it. It's more just kind of putting it out there. No new news on the Tanguy and Ndombele front. Villarreal apparently is interested in, but they're looking at, you know, everything looks like it's loaned by his agents working. I feel like we all believe it's just a matter of time before we say, thanks for coming. Here you go. Goodbye. No, really nothing new on Brian Hill's Sampdoria is gauging interest, but there's nothing real concrete. The Sergio Reguilon kind of picks up a little bit because Sevilla is pushing. I read something earlier this morning that said they're worried about price tag with Sergio Reguilon just because it might be Spurs are kind of asking for more than they might be willing to pay right now. So it might be kind of a later deal because they might have to sell a couple of people. I think Sevilla is a good landing spot for Sergio Reguilon personally, especially with his history back there. You guys any comments on either of those?
I do have the answer to our question. It is yes. We were right. unless there's a specific stipulation in the contract, which I don't think is even legal anymore. But I forgot about this, but Coutinho did this when Barcelona loaned him to Bayern, and then he scored two and assisted one.
He did.
When Bayern beat him 8-2. So, yes, he could play against us, yeah.
Okay.
No, but I do agree with you. I think Sevilla would be a good landing spot there. I didn't notice any dynamism at that spot for them today. Now, to be fair, I wasn't paying attention to their left back, but I didn't notice him without paying attention to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I noticed Lamella. I noticed Rakitic. I noticed Lucas Campos.
Yep.
But I didn't notice anybody on the defense. So,
yeah. I think the La Liga would be a good landing spot for him for a sale, not a loan. I don't want to see it alone. I think, you know, we talked about this last time. How many times can we loan him out? Or can we loan players out to foreign leagues? I think with Sergio Reguilón, it's going to be a sale.
Yeah. Nothing new on the GLC front. Harry Winks leans into an interesting discussion based on who he's linked to. So we'll go with that. So Harry Winks, it looks like Leicester has emerged as his as the favorite target for him. And they see him as a Yuri Tielemans replacement. And apparently it looks like Tielemans right now is heavily linked with Arsenal, and Newcastle is also showing interest, to the point where I deep dove a little bit more on Yuri Tielemans. And Leicester is actually willing to reduce their price that they're asking for Tielemans to get to Arsenal, which I found interesting. They're willing to take a little bit of a cut for him.
Well, he's run his contract down, hasn't he? I think he's got one year left.
Yeah, he's in the final year of his contract. I honestly think that Winks to Leicester makes some pretty good sense, actually.
I do too. I mean, they've gotten Didi and Mendy, I believe is the other guy's name. They're both very good, but they're more – I would love to have Ndidi. Now, I don't think we need him because we've got four very similar players, but he's really good. But Winks would be a little, as silly as it sounds, a little more progressive than those two and could play with either of those two.
That's so, saying something.
I know, but those two are – that's like Wanyama, you know, a couple of Wanyamas. Now, don't any Leicester fans listen to this. I doubt they will, but Ndidi is way better than that. But he's not exactly the most progressive guy. So I think he'd be a good fit there. Now, I don't think – I don't know. I'm not crazy about Tielemans. I don't want him at Tottenham. No, I think he.
I haven't seen anything about Tielemans coming to Spurs at all.
There's some early in the window, some tenuous links. Yeah. But especially with the Bissouma signing, I don't think Tielemans is a forward enough thinking. It would be to steal a Sherwoodism, a muchness. If we brought him in,
I can't guarantee you that he won't give the ball away in the final minute of stoppage time and lead the counterattack.
One of the most valuable passes in the league for Spurs last year was Tielemans.
Absolutely. So this brings us to a spot that I'm sure we're going to camp out a little bit on, talking about center attacking midfielders. And there's we've talked about how we thought that Jesse Lingard could maybe be a nice fit for Spurs there. But I mean, there's the name of Lucas Paqueta from Lyon, who's interesting. And then there's this man named James Maddison. So basically, the thought is if we're thinking between James Maddison and Lewis Paqueta and who is my third name? I just said I'm having a Jesse Lingard. Where do we lean and how do we feel? So
first of all, I think the problem with Lingard is similar to one that we mentioned last week. I don't know that he's creative enough on the ball. I think he's one that wants to be on the end of them. And I've seen him pass the ball to the opposition way too many times. Like, he would be free and homegrown, so there's value there, especially for the role he'd play for us. But I think he's more of a finisher, runner than a, you know, lockpicker, architect type. And with Paqueta, I'm done with the French league. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want any more of that. NG and Ndombele, another one I'm forgetting. Like, I'm out. Like, he's good. He's a good passer. He's left-footed. He's Brazilian. He knows Richarlison very well. Blah blah blah. I'm out. Like, I'm not interested in paying big money for anybody from that league anymore.
So you mentioned big money there. I don't have a number specifically that we've been quoted for James Maddison. I've seen a couple of people rumbling that it could be something along the lines of $40 million plus Winks, which I think is pretty good price.
That's the piece I want to attack on the Madison Lynx. The swap deals don't happen. They're always linked because of the financial matching up of it. But I don't think in any way, shape, or form we see a player plus cash deal, especially with this player.
You think it's going to be more like a Kyle Walker-Peters and Hoybier, just
kind of a separate but offsetting deals?
Right.
If that makes sense.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But kind of circling back to paying big money, Paqueta, Arsenal is really in on Paqueta, or at least they claim they are, because I've seen 10,000 pictures of Lewis Paqueta in an ugly Arsenal kit. And £67.5 million. And the reason it's so high is because AC Milan has a 15% sell-on clause. And if I'm you guys, I know we've got money. I know we've got a war chest. I don't want to touch that deal with a 10-foot pole.
I'd actually think, and I know Scott said he doesn't want to touch the French league with that same 10-foot pole, but I think out of the three players, Paqueta would be the best fit for Conte's system. I think he's very tidy on the ball. He's quick with transitions. I think he would help a lot with low blocks and help kind of beating people and then getting the ball into, you know, our attacking three or attacking four that we have. I think Madison is the best finisher of the lot, so could potentially bag the most goals, but I don't know that we're looking for this to be a goal-scoring position. I at first was dead set against the Madison move. I just don't like him. I think he's very, like, punky and, I guess, immature would be the word. I think you're bringing in another Dele if we bring in Madison. So I don't know how much longer. I know he had close to 30 goal contributions.
It was 30. It was 30 this year. 18 and 12.
I think that's peak for him, and I think that's also on a Leicester team. You know that they did okay. They struggled a bit though. This was probably Brendan Rodgers' worst season with them. I don't think he scores that many goals at Spurs just due to who else is up top. The assist number could be the same or maybe even higher. But there was a great tweet out there from Spurs International at Simone Mane, who said, "Us targeting Madison tells me three things. Conte is aiming to really take advantage of the five sub rule," which, yes, because you look at the rest of the midfield stable and it's a bunch of workhorses who are going to primarily prevent goals. Point two, more use of the 3-5-2, probably in Champions League games. Yep, I can see that. And then three, Madison being homegrown allows us to add strength without excluding any of our 17 non-homegrown players from the Champions League squad. So I think that's the most important piece as far as Madison, and I think that's why we would potentially see him over Paqueta.
Yeah, I don't think – and Jesse – the Athletic reported yesterday that kind of cycling back to Jesse Lingard, by next Friday, so that would be the 22nd, he's supposed to have made his decision. He's currently deciding between – Everton, West Ham, another unnamed Premier League club, and Al Shabab from Saudi Arabia. So, and they're offering him like $10 million a week, or sorry, $10 million for a year. So,
I think that Tottenham very well could be that unnamed Premier League club, but I also know that, you know, he had a lot of success at that West Ham loan. So, I think that's where he ultimately winds up.
Yeah, MLS is off the table, but. Wayne Rooney, that was also, I saw a lot of that before Wayne Rooney came in, and Wayne Rooney's very high on him.
So I think, and if you guys want to see this interview, you can check out my Twitter page. I retweeted it. I think that James Madison is what you wanted Dele to be, because he was immature, and he got through that and has turned into like a professional footballer who listens, and not, I don't want to say Dele didn't listen, but he's fit himself into a different role with Rodgers in the 4-3-3 than he played at Norwich. And he's grown up and he's shown some maturity and he's, you know, shown some leadership in that side, and he's found his place and he's tracked back. And Dele's such a hard one, because I don't know what the problem there was, but from a maturity perspective, I think that Madison has been through that and come out the other end of it now. I mean, he was a prick. You know, at Norwich, he was immature. He said some stupid stuff. He tweeted some stupid stuff. But I think he's come through that personally. I mean, there was that interview is about 4.5 minutes of, I don't know if it was this season or last season, but he talked tactics. He talked everything you could want from a post-match interview. It was the most insightful post-match interview I've seen in a long time. And I was very impressed. Not that you'd want to sign a player based off a 4.5 minute interview, but the attitude and the awareness, the self-awareness, the awareness of how he fit into the team tactically, the work he had to put in to track back and the adjustments they made during the match tactically, and all that. I was impressed by that. And there's a couple of things too with him. There's only six players had more goal contributions in the league than him last season. You had Salah, Son, Kane, De Bruyne, Ronaldo, and Mason Mount. So, and that was in a Leicester side with a goal difference of three. So I don't know that he's anything but an upgrade on anything that we would play in that role on the 3-5-2, or he could play as a right wing in a Kulusevski way, kind of like Eriksen used to play when Pochettino was here, kind of whipping those crosses in. But the biggest thing to me that we haven't talked about is, one, he draws fouls just like Richarlison does, and you can complain about diving all you want to, but with the two of them on the pitch, actually I have the stat here, he draws three fouls per 90, which is in the 93rd percentile for attacking mids and wingers. So you think about him drawing the fouls, Richarlison drawing the fouls, and Madison's ability on the ball, on a dead ball, he's Ward-Prowse-esque. He's not Ward-Prowse because nobody's Ward-Prowse, but his delivery is immaculate from free kicks.
And we have a new set piece coach.
And that's where genius. I was going next. And you get Vio in here on with set pieces, and you've got a guy. It's just, it makes all the sense in the world. Who do we have now that's going to deliver those?
Eric Dyer, baby.
Didn't you see Harry Kane score in South Korea?
Kane's got to be on the end of the. I'm talking, 35 yards out from a bad end. Kane needs to be on the end of them. Dyer needs to be on the end of them. Son needs to be there around the box to finish the rebounds. You need somebody to take these. We don't have that player. Not that you spend $70 million on a player just for that reason,
right?
But it's all of that together. His goal creating actions, his shot creating actions, his assists is like, it's insane. His goal creating actions is 0.8 per game, which is in the 96th percentile, for players in his position. I mean, he just contributes to goals. So, and that's what we need, especially from midfield. You talk about Kulusevski, Kane, Son, Richarlison scoring the goals. Well, if they score 15 to 20 each, that's 80. We're going to need to put more goals in than that. Where are they going to come from? So I think having somebody deliver from set pieces is very important. And chipping in goals from open play from midfield is important as well. So,
wasn't there a guy who played for this club, I think, called AFC Richmond, who got like a signal goal and he scored from like 45 yards out?
Right.
But I want to jump to a Twitter question while we're still talking about rumors, and our good friend Ankit over in India, and you can follow Ankit at @its_Ankit with 3 T's. He says, I know it's early to say, but our defense still needs to be sorted because we can't win the title with this defense. And we talked about, Sanchez being the left center back a little earlier. Romero is class. Dyer tries to avoid, but always ends up making mistakes. And Sleepy Sanchez is a squad player. This area definitely needs to pack in this summer. All of our link-up players going in a different way. We don't see the likes. Do we see the likes of Koundé or Torres coming in? And I know, Dustin, you're going to get to potential incomings. And I know Pau Torres' name has been floating around. Jules Koundé has been floating around. But center backs, I think, is probably still the, along with that center attacking mid, could be the next, big discussion point.
Yeah. I mean, Pau Torres' name still pops up quite a bit, I think. I think it's, not out of the question for us to potentially, go in on him, especially with him coming from Villarreal. And there's also some interest other ways of some people with, that play for, Giovanni Lo Celso and some things like that. There's some interest for some of our players to go that way as well. Like I said, Pau Torres, that name will hang around. I think I was the one that sent the idea about Jules Koundé in. To you guys, and it's just hit and miss on whether or not it's a rumor or there's a strong interest. Like, there's so much, it's just an issue of semantics, really, about how we view about if we're going to get Jules Koundé. I've seen some of, names some of the bigger names that I trust. I can't remember specifically who it was that said that, like, there's really no meat to any of that rumor. But the thing that does intrigue me, though, is Alessandro Bastoni. I still think there's a chance that move could happen just because if you haven't heard, like, PSG has been talking about going after Milan Skriniar for a long time, and those deals have started to stall, and Koundé to Chelsea has stalled, and there I've read a couple things that PSG might go after Koundé, which could open the door for us to go back after Bastoni. When I sent you guys the Ali Gold, video clip, he's like, well, they've got the money. I'm not going to say anything who, but there's
potential of a big name that could still come through the door. And a lot of people agree with me that they think that we're not out of it for Bastoni.
Interesting.
I think that was Madison, personally. Now, this is like super tenuous, but I did see some rumors of that we're having conversations about a big target for next summer that we'd go into a pre-agreement on. And that would not surprise me if that was Bastoni.
Is he out of contract? Is that why that is?
No, I think that it's one of those.
I just hate that year gap, and I'm
fine with it if it's a pre-agreement. I don't want any hand, spit in your hand and shake hands. Like, if you put pen to paper, then next season we'll bring Bastoni in for 70 million euros with an actual deal. I'm fine with that. That makes the Longley thing makes it all come together, right? The Longley with no obligation, no option. I don't know that I think that would make sense. I don't think that I don't think the deal's off the table this summer, Dustin. I agree with you on that. If push comes to shove and they need to make a sale, we'll be the ones there with the bag of money. But I have heard some rumors of a pre-contract for kind of like Liverpool did for Naby Keita. They bought him from RB and then sent him back for a year.
Do you guys think do you feel Bastoni's the number one target? That's who Paratici and Conte want at center back?
I do.
I think so.
Yeah.
If it's not him, it's Gvardiol.
That seems City is done. It's crazy with the Chelsea and Koundé, because Koulibaly's, done to Chelsea, Koundé. And so I know Ake was potentially going to go there, and that's what was going to potentially trigger the Gvardiol deal to City. But the center back carousel is interesting. Jules Koundé has been the one that's been floating around for two summers now that no one's gotten. I know Chelsea got close last summer, but didn't pull the trigger.
Seen him today because he's with Sevilla, but he wasn't there.
Right.
Well, he's also linked to Barcelona too.
Yeah. So very interesting. What else you got for us, Dustin?
This is a tweet. Speaking of our man Ankit, I think this. I don't have anything else specifically, but Ankit's tweet had another tweet for us comparing us to a couple other North London clubs, and I think this is a good place for it to fit here. But it was comparing.
This is actually Triple P at Whaleyman 22. With Arsenal's recent transfer acquisitions, have they closed the gap to us in any way, or are we still miles ahead of them and Chelsea? So I'm going to say Arsenal have not closed the gap at all this window.
Who would have done that for them?
Exactly. The players.
No, I'm serious. I'm not trying to troll. It's not Jesus.
It the backup striker from the team without a striker?
Yeah, he's not going to do it. The Vitinha, is that his name? No, Vieira. He's not going to do it, right? Like, who would have done it for them?
No, I'm 100% with you. I think the gap, to answer this question fully, the gap between us and Arsenal grew, and the gap between us and Chelsea shrunk. I think Chelsea, definitely was ahead of us. I think the gap shrunk. Sure, they brought in Koulibaly. They still very well could bolster that defense even more.
Koulibaly is a replacement, though. He's not adding to that. I mean, they lost Christensen and they lost Rudiger. So Koulibaly is just replacing Rudiger.
How old is Koulibaly? Replace
31. 31 on a 4-year deal for 40 million. That's outrageous, but it's Chelsea. Yeah. They've got the money. So
sure.
They still have to, they need to sign another center back just not to move backwards. Like, this is not moving them forwards at all.
No,
there were two very good center backs. Christensen was good on the ball. And we all know what Rudiger was. So they've got work to do.
I'll also say this, because Matt and I were talking about this too. The sheer quantity of the 35, 40-plus people that Chelsea have on loan. I didn't realize that Mark Guehi from Crystal Palace is actually a Chelsea loan. So he could be a recall for center back that.
Is that true?
That's what I saw today. That's what I just saw today before Matt and I jumped on. He was on the list, and I did get it from the trusty source of Wikipedia. But I'll double check that. But I will also agree that with Matt, we've extended the gap between us and Arsenal, and we've closed the gap between us and Chelsea.
And I think that'll only get strengthened as we go. But
no, he was, it looks like he was purchased.
Oh,
I see. He was loaned to Swansea.
Yeah, he was. Okay.
And then I see a $25.5 million deal is what it says in July of 21. So last summer, it looks like it was made permanent.
Got it.
All right. I've been wrong again. Let's go.
There you go. All right. But let's, we're getting a little long, so we can wrap this one up anyway. I think we had some good discussions about the South Korea visit, as well as some transfer targets. And hopefully, I was kind of hoping this, the Jed Spence news broke while we were on, but not to be today. So, Scott, we'll start with you. Final thoughts you have for us.
I really hope Davies is okay. It was tough going through last season with just one left-sided center back, one actual left-sided center back, and I'd hate to do that again with Longley, who's not even here officially, or, you know, trained with the club. Yeah, that makes me very nervous. Otherwise, it was a good tour. It was good to see the players out there, you know, getting their paces in, getting their work in, competing very well against some good opposition. It was good to see Lamella again. He looked good. You know, he almost scored. That shot off the post was excellent, and he made a couple of nice runs.
He almost fought his own team in the name of Spurs.
Yeah, I was about to say, in that little halftime scuffle with Sun and Mundial, I think his name was, Lamella got on the Spurs side of the scuffle. So it was good to see that, and good to see the players mostly healthy. Hopefully Davies is okay.
Also, a part of that scuffle, really good seeing Christian Romero and Richarlison shoulder to shoulder coming to the aid of Sun.
There was a play in the match early, I think it was in the first half, where Richarlison and Romero both tackled the same player within like 10 seconds of each other. I was like, oh, that poor bastard.
Yes.
I can't imagine.
It's kind of like, remember like NFL Blitz, the video game where you just like people up?
Yep.
Very much reminded me of that. Yep. What do you got for us, Dustin?
Like Scott said, it was nice to see us play some matches. It was nice to see it. I'm excited for us to that next week. It's a relatively short trip to Scotland and back. I know Matt has keen interest in that game because he does not like the Rangers to say the least. I think it's good that we're going to be playing a couple of more matches too that have some meaning to it, because like today, like we said, it was a friendly, but it wasn't always so friendly at times. Like, it was good to see us play and what seemed like a more of a legit game. And I know, like I said, the Rangers game will be a big one. I know the Roma game will have a lot of intrigue, especially because there's a certain special manager, quote unquote, who will maybe want to stick it to Spurs in a cup match, an ITEC Cup final.
I think it's also worth noting for that one that is Antonio Conte's chief rival. Him and Jose do not like each other at all. So that'll be it'll be fun to see some touchline antics going on in that one as well.
I also think in that match there's a really good chance to see to get like a really good scope of Jed Spence and Clement Longley and Basuma and some of those players who have yet to, and Perisic, who have yet to feature for us yet, to really kind of get a longer form version of their style of play. So it's just exciting. And I'm also glad that the 6 a.m. games are done for about a month. So
there you go. With you guys, I was very excited about this one. I think this was a very good preseason match and not so friendly as it played out. This was played almost like a group stage game. And, you know, Scott mentioned Sevilla is a potential Champions League opponent. I think this will do wonders for us down the stretch. We weren't as clinical as I think we're hoping with this attacking line of players that we have. But I think that this experience, especially after being gassed and run out in the heat for all this time, will only benefit us down the road. So very excited to see how that plays out going forward. We're back at it next Saturday versus the fucking Huns in Glasgow, and hopefully it'll be a nice way to warm up some of the guys who have not played yet and get them acclimated. And I'm really looking forward to that Roma one. And again, be on the lookout. We're going to do something with the Talking Tottenham podcast guys, our good friend Buck and Shakes, and we'll do something, you know, maybe even on the YouTube. So make sure you're subscribed and check all that out. Very excited to collab with them, and also be on the lookout for that Spence episode to drop when he is officially announced by the club. So that about wraps things up for this episode. Thanks for coming back home to Podspur. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, check out all of our accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. Just a reminder, you can get quick access to all of those links in one neat location by clicking the link tree in this episode description. Also, if you're interested in joining the Podspur Nation WhatsApp chat, just to connect with other Spurs fans from all across the states. Get in touch with us on any of our socials, and we will get you the link to join. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way to helping fellow Spurs supporters find the show. Thanks again for tuning in. I've been your host, Matt. So for Scott and Justin, Dustin, wow, I did it again. And Jeremy's not even on here. Damn it. For Scott and Dustin, we said Dustin a lot today. We'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.